Jo.
It's a lot of emotions happening today. Well, those from outside, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? But that's family, man. That's love. That's years of sowing into one another's lives, being able to witness that. And so this morning I'm here to also help just facilitate this process. I've been working with Ross and Weinberg since the beginning, since we kind of planted this congregation and got started. And so that's been an unbelievable privilege working with Ross. And I've said to Ross a couple of times over the years, like, I would easily be able to follow you as a lead elder. I'd easily be able to serve on your team, man, because he's just a wise, amazing, amazing man, full of the heart of God. So with Lee, this. So yeah, really, just such a privilege to be here and to speak into a few things. But I want to speak to us as a congregation as well, in how we are to move forward and where we're going. So this morning, I love the fact that this is bigger than Weinberg, that this is Josh Jen as a kind of a whole, and actually for 12, this is a whole field and partnership of churches. In the Bible, you read about a field of churches or partnerships of churches. And this is all of us, our inheritance extending, because the Lord is doing something. I want to remind you, like, this was not our idea. God spoke so clearly to a number of people saying, this is what we want to do. This is not something we would have easily come up with ourselves. Ross, Lahana, and Lee would not have come up, and Margo, this is going to get confusing, would not have come up with this themselves. They've honestly been an unbelievable gift to Mossel Bay. Like, the guys there started crying immediately as they realized this is what God wants to do, but obviously in a releasing way. We've stayed in their house before, guys. It is like unbelievable, overlooking the sea, the beach. It's like, it is beautiful. Like, I don't think they would have come up with this plan themselves, and yet the Lord speaks and they go, yes, this is what God is doing. With Greenpoint as well. God, what are we doing? This congregation, they need full-time help. They need a shepherd. They need someone that comes in with maturity and with strength and who's led. And God, what are we going to do? Where, you know, looking around, and then suddenly it's like, oh, this is actually, we could not think of a better couple to move in there and to go and work in that part of the field, you know. And you just go, God, you are the builder of your church. You're the one working. And all of us get to just share in this journey with you, like, just want to hear your voice and follow you. So this morning, that's what's happening. And the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians, it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That means caution and warn you. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Hey? Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. And so for those of you looking in, guys, we are called to do this. Western culture, it's a bit uncomfortable to honor people and honor men. But actually, we're called to honor those who are worthy of honor. And Ross and Lee, man, they have worked hard. They have labored hard. Not all of you would have seen that. I've watched that for, 7, 8 years now. I've watched a laboring hard through every season, not taking the hand off the plow, just continuing to labor in love. And so they are worthy of honor. The Bible also talks about financial honor. It says, those who direct the affairs of the church, especially who preach and teach, they're worthy of double honor. There's such a sense of, and he's talking about money in that sense. So I just want to say this is scripture. This is what we see in the Bible, doing this kind of thing. So as we start this morning, I want to speak to the congregation, but just before we do, just to the two Rosses, I felt, and it's a well-worn scripture when it comes to any kind of leadership transition, but I really felt God lead me to a couple of key things in the handover from Moses to Joshua. And I felt God want to encourage you, Ross, with a few words that were given to Moses, actually, because Moses was known as the servant of the Lord. He was literally one of the most loved people in all of Scripture and most respected and honored. I mean, he set the course for the whole of the Scripture and the Word of God. It's those first 5 books that he wrote in his encountering and revelation with God that the whole of Scripture is kind of founded on. And so he had this incredibly special place in God. And I mean, many of you will immediately think, oh my goodness, but Moses didn't step into the promised land or whatever, even though he saw it very clearly. And I felt like you have seen very clearly the promised land for this congregation. Over the years, you've seen it and you've seen it and you've seen it. And the thing with Moses is, he didn't step in his lifetime, but he did step onto the mountain with Jesus at the transfiguration. It didn't happen like he thought it would happen, but it was part of his inheritance still. The grace of God was there. So it's like you're not going to set foot, and yet he does, you know? And so I really wanted to say that. I felt that for you guys. Like there's something of, you might not be seeing it and walking in it like you might have thought you would at one stage, but like God is still going to bring you into that. It's still your inheritance, and you will walk in what this congregation walks into. And so, just a few ways that I felt like God wanted to honor you as someone who is literally like his most loved, faithful servant, Moses. Moses stepped in even though he felt he wasn't ready, you know. And Robin alluded to it, like from the beginning of this congregation, like everything from the outside looked like Ross probably wasn't quite qualified or ready yet to lead, you know what I mean? And yet he stepped in because he loved the people of God. He was willing to step in and go, you know what, it doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter, if there's a need, I'm stepping into this. It doesn't matter how qualified I feel, how new I feel. I mean, he was new to Josh Jen. He was new to eldership in this context. He was coming out of a very different context, very different, you know. And yet he was like, I'm going to learn on the job because I need to love and lead God's people. And that heart has, I mean, it's cost you a lot, that heart. But it's incredible heart of God. And it was just like Moses' heart. I love the way you've stepped in on behalf of the people over and over like Moses. Moses was that mediator who would step in between God and the people and go, God, bless your people, love your people. God, please have mercy on your people. And I've watched him over the years with many situations, with individuals, those situations that keep you up at night, those situations which are personally taxing, where there's accusation and there's stuff flying around. And they've always walked like absolutely honorably, truthfully before God, getting their own hearts right. And they've stepped into those situations. They haven't run away from them. Again and again, they've stepped into the situations which you know from the start, it could very potentially go bad. And many leaders, when they see that happen, they step away and they step behind a pulpit and they just preach from a distance and they start to cut their hearts off. But Ross and Lee have not been like that. They've stepped in and they've kept their hearts engaged always, no matter what it's going to cost them. And I felt like that was Moses saying, hey, Moses even said, let me be eternally condemned, but please save your people. And you've had something of that heart. And the other thing that Moses had was he was a friend of God. Numbers 12 says this about Moses. He was a friend of God. And I feel like you're a friend of God. Listen to what this says. It says, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak again? Okay, that's about Miriam. And yeah, God's lifting up Moses when others are trying to criticize him. But I love that. He says, he's faithful in all of my house. And he's known for that in Hebrews. In Hebrews, I think it's 3, he's 2, he's faithful in all my house. Out of all my house, he's the faithful one, you know. And I feel like God's speaking that over you. But he's given you that revelation, and that's the last thing I wanted to say about Moses, is he gave Moses an incredible revelation. You know, when Moses said, like, it's not, you know, you've got to come with us, God, into the promised land. Don't just send an angel. We want you, God. And that's been your heart all along. It's like, we must have God with us. We must have the presence of God. Like, it must be him. It must be the Spirit. But then he says, God, please show me your glory. And God says, I'll show you my glory and I'll cause my name to pass in front of you. And what's amazing about that is his name, when he says Yahweh, He says, the Lord. And then he speaks out his name. He says, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger. I'm filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to the generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children to the third generation. And then it says, Moses threw himself to the ground and worshipped. Bit of a different translation, I think. But that revelation of the name of God, Yahweh, and then the description of who God is, you see that quoted probably hundreds of times through scriptures, hundreds of times in the Psalms. In other words, the whole revelation of who God was for us even today. I mean, someone was praying it, enduring love, unfailing love. I mean, that's quoted over and over. Why? Because that was the name, that was the description God himself gave to someone, to Moses. And then Moses was able to take this character of God and hold the tensions of he's a God that punishes and is a God of wrath, but he's a God of unbelievable compassion and mercy that even triumphs over judgment. And I feel like God's given you such a revelation of who he is. I mean, none of us have the fullness of it, but I feel like you're someone who's been able to hold the tensions. You're someone who's been able to lay the foundation so solidly into people here. And when I think of this congregation, I think of a congregation that is so well shepherded, so well looked after, every single person loved, looked after, built into, known. Like it's like there's such a strength here, such a depth here. So yeah, I really wanted to honor you in that and say, well done, man. You have been like Moses. And yeah, Shisa, that's a pretty high, big thing to say. Ross, let me read this first part of Joshua, Lahana. And this is, I'm sure you've turned to the scripture. I wouldn't be surprised if you've turned to the scripture the last while, but just listen to this, everybody, because this is God's heart again. And hey, we are Joshua generation. This is what we called, and we called this partly because of this, because God said we would be a people that walk into the inheritances and promises. And over the years, we've seen that. This is our 20th year of Josh Gen, and we've seen that. We've gone only from strength to strength, only into more. And honestly, we're going into more. And this is today, once again, going into more. This is what it says. It says, after the death of Moses, don't read into that. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you, all these people, get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea of the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to give to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, and you will be successful wherever you go. I love that about these guys, Ross and Margo. I know that they are people that are not afraid to uphold everything of Scripture and hold to it and hold fast to it. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Come on. God has promised us an inheritance. Our inheritance is not physical land. Our inheritance is a bride prepared for Jesus. A beautiful, spotless bride coming out of heaven like a city that is prepared to the Lamb. And on that day, there will be wedding bells and feasting and shouting and excitement and celebration. And we will share in that. Go, look, we've been part of preparing the bride for the Lord, and now the marriage feast has come. That's our inheritance. That's, and that thing that we're looking at is this beautiful, the values that are devoted to him in every way, the things that he holds dear, people that are praying and worshiping and loving one another and deeply devoted to each other and sharing everything they have and all those things we talk about in the first couple of chapters of Acts over and over again. That is our inheritance, to walk in that, a church that looks like that, that thinks like that, that acts like that, that behaves like that, that literally just lives that. And these guys, what I love about Ross and Margot is they carry that. They exude that. From the moment we, you know, first met them, like everything about them exuded that. It didn't matter if they had little kids. It didn't matter. It was just everything we have is yours. We just want to share. We just want to give. We just want to welcome. We just want to open our hearts. We, like, there's something so beautiful and kind of uncorrupted, untainted, and just beautiful about you guys with this, with the ability to see. And I felt like that's what God wanted to say. He wanted to say, he's made you seers. He's made you those that look and see the ideal, almost idealistically so. It's like he's made you idealistic. And that comes with its challenges. You know what I mean when you're idealistic? It comes with a lot of challenges, actually, because it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to, but like, he's made you that because he's made you a seer, because you see what the bride should look like. And it's like you won't rest until it looks like that. Like, that's what I want to present to Jesus, you know? So go for it. That means you're going to be challenged a lot. That means when it says get ready, it's get ready. That means when the moment comes, like what happened with Joshua, imagine the leadership has just passed. Okay, guys, everyone go into your tent. We're gonna circumcise you all. Like that's one of the first acts that he does as a leader, you know? It's like, what? Are you serious? Okay, guys, now we're going to cross over. We're going to walk around this massive city for 7 days, and we're going to not say a word, and then we're going to blow out trumpets and scream our heads off, and we're going to take the city. You know, it's like, guys, can you imagine being an Israelite? Like, can we go back to Moses? Like, can we just, please, Moses was great. Like, we knew that God was with him, that, you know, he spoke face to face with God. Now you're telling us to, like, mutilate our bodies and, yeah, anyway. Yeah. But so what I'm saying is get ready. I really feel like that. Get ready. Because this is the deal, and this is what I want to say to us as the church. God's called us to be equipped. God's called us to have an inheritance. And every one of us is to help each other gain that inheritance. And that's the picture for Josh Jen is all of us are, and for the whole 412 field, all of us are like wanting to celebrate each other's victories. That's why it's so great to have Mossel Bay here and Sunningdale and City Bowl and all the guys, because it's a shared inheritance, this thing. And so this is I want to go to another well-worn scripture of ours, which is Ephesians 4, verse 11. Because, you know, growing up in this area, many of you will have this picture in your mind of church, I'm sure. And please, I don't want to knock any traditional churches, but I also went to a church at one stage in my life where, you know, when it was communion, you would get down at the altar and the priest would come to you and the priest would serve communion and the priest would lead the service and the priest would do all the marriages and the, you know, the weddings and the funerals and the counseling and the pastoral and the picking of the hymns and, like, literally everything. And so this whole area, a lot of it is in this mentality, whether we like it or not, you know, whether we've read the Bible or not. The picture we have is of okay, I'm being served by the priest, and the priest is there, and he's been qualified, and he does his job. Rather than, I have been conscripted into an army. I am a soldier as much as Ross or Lee is a soldier. Every one of us is called to do this. Every one of us is a priest of God. Every one of us needs to take inheritance. Every one of us needs to fight and move forward. If any one of us is dropping behind or lagging behind, the rest of us need to go, come on, no, we're going to go. We're going to take our inheritance. And that is the picture of a normal disciple. And I feel like I want to remind us of that. As I say, get ready, I want to remind you, a normal disciple is, I'm moving forward, I'm taking my inheritance, I exist on this planet for the kingdom of the living God, and I do some work in the week, and I make some money sometimes. That's great. But I exist for one thing, and it's the kingdom. It's the only thing big enough to exist for. It's the treasure in a field that I've seen and I've just said, I want to sell everything I have. And that was not just for the priest that's qualified. That was for anyone that wants to follow Jesus. Okay. So this is what we're getting to today. So Ephesians 4 says this. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, or to equip God's people for works of service. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, the cunning craftiness of men, the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it starts out, this was Christ's idea. So Christ himself gave. So the modern church today, many songs written, many preachers preached, a lot of what you hear is, all I need is you, Jesus. It's you, I don't have to have anything else, I just need you. You satisfy everything. And there's a beautiful truth in that, but it's only part of the story. The rest of the story is Jesus going, that's wonderful. Yes, I am the only Savior. I am the only Lord. But I am going to give you people to shape and equip you and mature you. I'm going to anoint them. I'm going to equip them. And I'm going to send them out amongst you to work hard amongst you and to equip you. And as a church, we need to get this. We need to stop going, okay, it's a bit awkward working with people, so all I need is Jesus, and go, come and shape me and equip me and challenge me, because I want to grow up into everything of Christ. And so this is God's plan. That's how he planned it to be. Okay, just take note. He planned that. He said, I'm going to work like that. And then he gives us all these various gifts, and I'm very excited. I mean, I look at Ross and Margot, and I'm seeing a lot of the prophetic, a lot of the pastoral, and that incredible combination coming together, and probably more. But God has set them apart as gifts to you guys. That's the bottom line. And so, this is his idea. And then it says to equip. And that's the word that's most often used. The NIV says prepare, but equip's a better word. And what it refers to there is a mending of nets, a fixing what is broken, a putting together again. It refers to like a building up. And basically the picture is of a personal trainer more than a masseuse, a massage parlor. And I wanted to just give you that picture today, because a lot of people go to church today because they want to walk out feeling like they've been massaged and all the difficulties from the week have been comforted, and now I can go into another week, And yet the Bible says, no, we're to be equipped, like the body needs to be built up in all the areas that are weak, so that when we leave church, our muscles are sore and stiff a bit, and we kind of have to stretch to, because it's not comfortable at all. I've been equipped and I've been built up and I'm getting stronger. I'm not just being massaged. I'm being built up. That's the picture of equipping. Any part that's weak, I'm shaping it and I'm molding it. And I say this to people all the time that are saying, I don't know which church to join. My big thing is, just don't you dare join a church where you're comfortable. Because that's most often what I hear. Well, we just felt so comfortable there, so we joined the church. It's like, no. That's the opposite of what you should do. Run away, find someone that's actually going to challenge you and shape you to become more like Jesus. And obviously, Jesus, he sees where people are broken. He says, like, a bruised reed, he's not going to break. And a smoldering wick, he's not going to snuff out. Jesus is amazing. I'm not talking about where there's areas of brokenness that need healing. He is so gentle, he is so loving, he's so compassionate. But in that process, as he heals you, he wants to take you and build you up and say, come on, you've got an inheritance. Let's go. This is not a hospital. This is an army camp. If anything, it's an army hospital. We just want to get you back in the field. Let's go. You know what I mean? That's the picture of Scripture. Okay, so personal trainer says to equip you for works of service. We've been equipped to just serve, to just live a life where we pour it out and we serve. Guys, I've been doing this for a while now, like, I don't know, 13 years or so of full-time ministry. And a lot of the time, you just do the same thing over and over. And I love it because Jesus gives you what you need and he fills you with new vision. But a lot of the time, it's just loving people again. And I've counseled 50 people in the same way, and I've got to counsel 51 in the same way now again. And it's another marriage issue, and it's another this issue. And I've got to, you know, and you got to find new love and new passion for the people of God again and again. But that's what it is. I've been called to serve. I'm not sad about that because Jesus was called to serve. And one day, oh my goodness, like, it's all worth it. But I've been called to serve. Many people hear that, like, what, you've called me to serve? I've got a busy job. I work hard during the week. I give myself for 50 hours a week to my boss. And now when I come to church, you tell me that I've got to serve again? Like, are you serious? Yeah, totally. That's what we're called to do. We're called to serve by Jesus. Anything less than that and it's a massage parlor. Okay. Basically. Cool. So we've been called to serve. How does that, I hope that doesn't make you feel heavy. Like, oh man, I need another message on grace. I hope that makes you feel like, oh yeah, come on. I need a message on that kind of grace that empowers me, you know? Okay. And then it says, so that we might be, the body of Christ might be built up. And I love this. It actually, where is it now? We're in the scripture. I just want to read this. It says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Once again, it's that picture of every part of the body needs to be strengthened and built up, and that's not always comfortable. Until we all reach unity in the faith. There it is again. It says, till we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of Christ. So in other words, God's end goal, God's plan for every person that he saves is not just to get them into heaven. His plan for every person that he saves is to say, I want you to look exactly like Jesus. I want you to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ in your marriage, in your relationships, in your kids, in your fathering, in your giving, in your serving, in your loving, in your compassion, in your grace, in your ability to handle trial. In every single area, I want you to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Can you see that's going to take your whole life? Can you see that's going to take many people speaking into you over the years? Can you see that's going to take every type of gifting, helping to equip you and shape you? And, you know, I love being in a church where I can't go for long without being challenged that I'm not prophesying enough. Where I can't go for long without being challenged like, oh my goodness, I have not been caring about the lost. I need to love them again, you know? I love the fact that I'm part of that. I see so many that just don't like being challenged and veer away from that and find a group of people that are just like them to enjoy a comfortable life. And I'm going, guys, no, please, get ready because there's going to be even more to come. And Ross and Lee have led you guys like this. I mean, I know it's probably not been comfortable being in Weinberg at all, but I feel like there's just even more of that to come. Get ready. Get ready to be equipped. Get ready for the personal trainer to come and train. It's so, you know, so often in the church today, people are waiting for the personal trainer to go, okay, get on the treadmill. Oh, you know what? Let me show you how it's done. I'll run on the treadmill. Watch me run, you know? And then like, what? Oh, is that heavy to lift? Hold on. Let me show you. Look, I'll do it. Oh, and so it's so easy for it to become that. It's so easy for the professionals or the gifted ones or the guys up front or the ones that are full-time or whatever to become the personal trainers that everyone else looks at and goes, yeah, well done, you know. We'll come watch you at the sports game and we'll feel, you know, that sense of pride that someone that's played rugby long ago and now they're like massive and they can hardly like reach the remote for the TV, but they get to watch the guys on the screen and it gives them that sense of like, this is me, we're involved. Whereas it's like, they're not doing anything. It's all the guys on the field, you know. But they can get a kick out of that. And it's like the Church of Jesus Christ is not called to be that. A bunch of people spectating, getting a kick out of someone else serving. It's like, no, every person is called to serve. Every person is called to play on that field and take the hard knocks and get stuck into the scrum and play his part, run when he's got the ball, support the others when they've got the ball. Every part of the team is called to play in this game. So, and it says, till we all, every person, guys, there's not this core group of they're the committed ones. Over and over, when I read Acts, that's what always makes me most challenged, is because it will say stuff like they all. They were all together. They all gave themselves. They were all just totally devoted. They all, because I read that as a pastor and as someone that leads a church, basically, or leads a team that leads a church, and I read that and I go, I'm very often settle for less than that. I very often settle for, hey, great, 50% were really going for it in worship today. Wasn't that awesome? Hey, 50% really gave hard when we did a building offering. Hey, you know, 50% really kind of served and honored. Like, it's so easy to settle for that and go, hey, the odds are kind of getting better or they're not bad, you know. I mean, we wouldn't want to expect everyone. That's too high. No, no, no. Be idealistic. Come on, every person, everyone. To the point where if someone just is like, that's not for me, I don't want this, they shouldn't be able to stay long in our churches. They shouldn't be able to last long. If that's not your heart as well, you shouldn't last long here. It should be pretty soon to the point where it's like, you know what, I'm too challenged to actually stay here. I need to leave. And we have seen a lot of people lead. And honestly, we don't chase people away. We want to help people through. Like, please hear the heart behind this. But actually, that's always been the heart of Andrew. That's been the heart of us as elders. It's always been, guys, we want to be so challenged. We have to be moving forward or we leave. And Jesus was exactly like that. He said, count the cost. He said, hot or cold. There's no in between. That's Jesus. Okay. Listen to this scripture in Colossians 1, verse 28. I'll leave Ephesians scripture now. Just listen to Paul's heart where he says in Colossians 1, 28, he says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. It's the same word, perfect, mature. By the way, that word telos, it means, a very good description is whole. It means whole. It means there's nothing broken or not working. It's whole. It's fully at its full capacity. It's running at its full capacity. Like God wants every person here running at their full capacity. With history of brokenness and scars and hurts and pains, I mean, God uses very broken people, but he says, I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to cause you to run at your full capacity again. It's going to take a while. It's going to take challenging. It's going to take speaking truth in love. It's going to take all these things, but I want you running as a whole person at your full capacity. That's what he's in the business for. He says, I want to present everyone perfect in Christ. Once again, Paul's heart was like, for the churches, Paul's heart was, I want to present everyone perfect. That's always challenged me about Andrew's leadership, I must say, because it's always been that. It's always been absolutely every person. No one's just along for the ride. No one's just here week after week. Absolutely everyone. Do you realize that's God's heart? If you're sitting here, everyone whole and perfect and full capacity, running. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. That's what I love about God, is whatever he calls us to, he gives us the energy for it. We got to press in to find that energy again and again. This last week, I've been so convicted about running in my own strength, just realizing that's the root of issues that I'm having at the moment and lack of motivation. It's not holidays needed. It's not like, it's just because I'm actually not counting on him. I'm just carrying stuff by myself. I'm just getting weighed down by burdens. And I come back to a scripture like this and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's going to be a strain, but it's going to be his energy. That's what's, okay, so, guys, almost done. One or two more things that I just want to point out here. He has powerfully equipped you. I really want to say that. He has given you everything you need. He's given you the energy, the battery, the fuel. He's put that in you. He's given you what you need. How many of you, when you meet a car guard, And you talk to this car guard from one of the African countries that's in absolute crisis, and you talk to them and you realize that they're actually an accountant, that they've studied for years, they're more qualified than you are, They've worked probably harder in their lives than you have, and here you are in your kind of luxury, and there they are, like literally sleeping on the streets and acting as a car guard. And you look at this, and something in you goes, there is something so wrong about this picture. They've been equipped for so much more than this. They've gotten everything they need, intellectual capacity and study and knowledge, and they've gotten so much, and yet this is what they're doing. There's something so wrong, it doesn't measure up. In the Church of Jesus Christ, this is how we are supposed to look at one another. To look at one another and go, oh my goodness, you're filled with the Spirit of the living God. He's given you supernatural gifts from heaven that you can read about in Corinthians 12 and Romans. Like, he has given you so much. You're called to so much, and yet you're sitting, or you're, it's the same issue, or you're going around the mountain, or, you know, you're held back by your guilt and stuff, and it's like, and that should be our heart for everyone, to look at one another and go, something's holding you back. You've been equipped for everything. You've gotten so much. You've been given so much. Literally, God himself living inside of you. And we need to come back to that. Okay, God. Not as a heavy, not as a condemnation, but as a, okay, God, thank you. Come on, I'm not going to be the accountant that's the car guard. I'm not going to be the MIT chemistry graduate that's flipping burgers. I'm going to be the Christian that's filled with the living God, and I'm going to take this inheritance that you've given to us. Not just me, to us. Come, let's do this together. He's given us, he's equipped us. I love what Jesus says, man. He says in Matthew 9:35. I'm just trying to throw these thoughts out. It's all saying the same thing. All I want to do is say every single person here is called to become whole in Christ and to take an inheritance. Every one of you. I want you to be so dissatisfied that the thought of watching someone else just do it and cheering them on would make you sick. You'd be like, no ways. I'm in there. I've got to be in there. I've got to have my part to play. I've got to have my place to serve. I've got to have my people that I'm loving and giving to. I've got to have my gifts that I'm actually using again and again all the time. I'm totally dissatisfied with anything else. And sometimes we go through drier seasons, but that season better be short, and we better be looking at it and going, God, come on, I'm here for a couple more years. In all of eternity, I want to count, God. And so Jesus says this, he says, Matthew 9, he says, Jesus went through the towns and the villages and the teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. So he was doing it all. Jesus was going around and he was the one doing it. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I just stop there. Like, Andrew said this over the years many times, in order to see your inheritance, you need to see that there's something very wrong with what's going on around us. And I'm talking about saved and unsaved. Something in you should look around at this area and go, so many Christians and non-Christians alike are living in so much less than what God has called them to. They're harassed and helpless. And from there, then you start seeking answers, you know, when you're dissatisfied looking around, and where there's this holy discontent inside of you, then you look around and you go, God, there's more here. It says they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. So Jesus looked out and he saw all these broken sheep and he said, oh, there's a plentiful harvest. That's what he saw. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. Do you know that you are a worker? That he's called you to be a worker. Work is not a loved word. Many people wouldn't even know that it's in the New Testament. Actually, a lot. Guys, people don't like the preachers on work. We should love it. I'm a worker. I'm a worker in a harvest field with an inheritance with my big brother Jesus. I'm sharing in his inheritance. Let's go into the field together. All these broken sheep, let's go. And when I say that, guys, it's often not very glorious. A preach like this and what it really looks like, it probably doesn't do justice, because often it doesn't look that glorious, that harvest time, when you're sitting with someone and they're crying and you're telling them the same thing that you've told them three times and they never listened all three times, and now they're sitting in a huge mess and you want to say, "I told you so," but you know that wouldn't be Christ-like, so you say, "Come on, let's do it again," and you show mercy and show God's heart again of compassion and unfailing love, and you say, "Come on, let's go together again, I'll walk with you." Like, that's what it looks like in the trenches often. But Jesus looks at it and he goes, "He's a worker and there's inheritance together. Come on, let's do it together. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few," is what he said. So pray for workers. Our prayer should not just be, "God, save Weinberg, save the lost." Our prayer should be, "God, revive this church. God, cause every person to rise up as a worker and to get out there and make their whole life about the kingdom of heaven." That's our prayer. That was Jesus' prayer. He wasn't, "God, just save the poor sheep." He was, "God, raise up the workers." And once again, I want to say, this is the elders' jobs. This is our jobs. It's not to comfort. It's not to just, that's maybe one little part of it. Our job is to equip you to work. And I hope you love that and want that. I'm trying to convince you that the Bible says that. Okay, cool. So God, stretch me, grow me. That's the prayer for us. So before we pray for Ross and wives, I want to pray for us and give us an opportunity to respond to God, to respond to what he's saying. Because there's a promised land and there's inheritance. And some of you have seen that and you know that. Some of you have forgotten that. Some of you never actually knew that. You thought the massage was enough for a Sunday meeting every now and then. And something in you, I hope, is being convinced by God's word this morning, going, "No ways, I'm a worker. I need to be equipped. I need to be trained. I need to be sent out into the field." Okay. So could we stand?